Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the HIRE Technologies Q2 2021 Financial Results Conference Call. At this time, all lines are in listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we'll conduct a question-and-answer session. If you'd like to ask a question during this time, please press star followed by one. This call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Simon Dealy, CEO, and Dan Tagu, CFO. Please go ahead.
Excellent. Thank you very much. And thank you and welcome to everyone who has joined us on our call today. My name is Simon Dealy, CEO of HIRE Technologies, and it is my absolute pleasure to present our Q2 results to you today. Building upon HIRE's strong Q1 results, we are pleased to discuss the positive momentum we have maintained into Q2 and how our execution combined with solid organic growth has propelled our company to record top-line results. Our $6.4 million quarterly revenue is yet another record for the company, and it adds to our already impressive 2021 run rate. We continue to outperform in terms of revenue growth, having achieved a 116% increase year-to-date. This includes an industry-leading organic growth rate of 44% in Q2. As we continue to gain market share across Canada, our high-margin permanent revenue has increased by 12% over last quarter, while maintaining an impressive 72% recurring revenue base. We saw a 173% increase in job orders, a 31% increase in job placements, and a positive 16% in peer group weighted average. All of this demonstrates our experienced management team's dedication to meeting client needs despite the ongoing uncertainties surrounding COVID-19. HIRE led the industry in organic growth, augmented by our newest partners and team members, the Headhunters, the Caven Group, and Taylor Ryan, who generated year-over-year organic growth rates of 29%, 76%, and 165% respectively. Our brand's accelerated post-acquisition growth demonstrates the benefits our consolidation strategy, shared services model, and allowing leadership to focus on growth initiatives. Naturally, the EBITDA performance of these brands has also increased significantly. This increase over the acquired EBITDA is highly accretive and quantifies the value created over their original valuation. As we continue to focus on both recurring contract placement revenue and higher margin placement services, our gross margins remain strong at 40%, a marked increase from the 21% we were at a year ago. On a consolidated basis, we achieved a solid EBITDA performance while continuing to invest in new growth opportunities and our shared services platforms. As we seek to add more accretive and industry-leading enterprises to our portfolio, market conditions favour immediate value creation and will serve to accelerate our acquisition program. As the company recovers, talent scarcity returns, increasing demand for our critical role in assisting candidates in finding the best fit for their talent and employers in providing a complete human capital management solution. Our clients' needs have evolved over the last year and a half, with many employees desiring a hybrid work model and many businesses eager to capitalize on the cost savings that model provides. This alters how employers interact with their employees and opens opportunities for talent outside of local markets. We are optimistic for the remainder of 2021 based on the strength of our performance in the first half of this year. We will remain flexible to any pandemic-related uncertainties, and we are encouraged by the continued rollout of vaccines. However, with ongoing organic growth and profitability across our companies, as well as a steady pipeline of acquisitions, we are very excited about the next steps in putting our strategic plan into action. I'll now pass it over to Dan to discuss our financial performance in more detail.
Thank you, Simon. The Pulsify acquisition was completed on April 1st, 2021. With the team now part of the HIRE family, we've seen early success in customer renewals as we build out and refine the sales and marketing strategy. The product is available now at pulsifyapp.com. We were also very excited to announce the deal to partner with Leaders on August 6th. Leaders is one of Canada's top executive search firms. The addition of Richard, Cynthia, Lori, Yanuk, and Philippe and their staff adds tremendous credibility to our national network. In addition to gaining access to the Quebec market, Leaders brings access to Penryn International, a global affiliation of firms in 40 cities worldwide, as well as a leading diversity and Indigenous practice. We valued the company at $6.5 million and will pay $4.4 million in cash, $1.1 million in shares, and will pay $1 million in an earnout to be paid over 3 years, subject to exceeding a minimum EBITDA target over those 3 years. Our financial results for the quarter demonstrate our commitment to value creation through organic and acquisitive growth. Revenue of $6.4 million for the quarter was 146% higher than the same quarter in 2020, and revenue for the 6 months ended June 30th was $11.9 million, exceeding our full-year revenue in fiscal 2020. $6.6 million of our revenue for the first half of the year was contributed by our newest partners at the Headhunters, the Cavan Group, and Taylor Ryan. Organic growth, defined as the percentage change in revenue for the period as compared to revenue from the same entities in the prior period, irrespective of the acquisition date, exceeded our expectations and was 44% for the quarter end and 24% for the year. This validates our ability to attract and align with partners who want to accelerate the growth of their businesses with us. $2.5 million in gross margin for the 3 months ended June 30th was a record for our company. Furthermore, the $4.8 million reported for the first half of the year also exceeded full-year gross margin for 2020. This was driven by high-margin on-occurrence permanent placement revenue, now making up 29% of our total revenue, a notable increase over the 6% just a year earlier. Gross margin did, however, decline 2 points against the record first quarter of 2021, with job orders at all-time highs in the recurring contract book and in the IT sector in particular. A premium on market wages has squeezed margins as bill rate versus pay rate spreads decrease. On to spending now, our selling, general, and administrative expenses were $3.5 million for the quarter. On a percentage of revenue basis, this was 55%, a 6-point improvement over the prior year, and after adjusting for non-operating items, professional fees, share-based compensation, and contingent remuneration on acquisitions, SG&A was 48% of revenue. Year-to-date, SG&A of $6.5 million was flat on a percentage basis and almost 9 points better than the prior year on an adjusted basis. As we execute on our acquisition program, we continue to add to the shared services platform. In 2021, Hire made key investments in its shared services staff to meet the needs of a company that's doubled in size with transformative transactions like the Leaders deal to come. Now let's move to take a look at the impact that these investments had on our bottom line results. When looking at this slide, slide number 7, it's important to visualize the magnitude and scale of the numbers being discussed. All data is presented with equal visual scale. You'll note that strong year-to-date results and comparisons far exceed smaller, unfavorable variances, with notable improvements across the metrics year over year. Year-to-date, EBITDA of $2.5 million was $4.1 million better than the EBITDA loss of $1.6 million in the first half of 2020. On an adjusted basis, excluding restructuring and other non-operating items, realized gains or losses on derivative financial instruments, other unrealized fair value through profit or loss, mark-to-market gains or losses, earnout payments treated as future contingent remuneration from acquisitions, and share-based compensation expenses. Adjusted EBITDA was $0.5 million, $0.3 million lower than the adjusted EBITDA loss of $0.2 million last year. Net income was $1.8 million, a $3.6 million improvement over 2020, where we had a net loss of $1.8 million. On an adjusted basis, excluding, in particular, $1.2 million in unrealized gains on convertible debenture derivatives for the quarter and $3.7 million for the year, adjusted net loss for the quarter was $1 million, with adjusted net loss for the quarter at $1.2 million. The unfavorable variances of $0.7 million and $0.9 million, respectively, were driven mainly by the tightening margins in our contract book and our investments in new hires in our shared services platform to meet the needs of the companies in our growing acquisition pipeline. Loss per share for the quarter was 1 cent per share, an improvement over a loss of 2 cents per share in 2020. Earnings per share was 3 cents for the first half of the year, a 7 cent improvement over the 4 cent loss in 2020. On an adjusted basis, loss per share was 2 cents for the quarter and year, only a 1 cent change versus 2020. With significant committed spend at our head office now in place, strong operating company growth coupled with accretive acquisitions like the Leaders deal will drive improved bottom line results moving forward. Simon, back to you.
Thank you very much, Dan. And we'll now welcome any questions anybody has for us.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one. One moment for your first question. Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star followed by one. Your first question comes from Crispin Squirrel from Eight Capital. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Simon and Dan. And congrats on the good top-line performance this quarter. The first question I'll ask today, I'll start broad. Now, as employment appears to be recovering post the pandemic, could you guys talk about some of the trends you're seeing into the back half of the year?
Yeah, good question, Christian. Thank you for that one. It's certainly a situation where it's kind of flipped where it used to be the employer had a lot of candidates to choose from. Now the candidate market's really tightening up, and it's a lot more about trying to find those really high value candidates and bring them into the positions. And so our databases of candidates become all that much more valuable to our clients because we have vetted these candidates. We've got a good candidate listing there and providing that through to the clients. So there's a lot more of an increase in the use of our services across all the different brands that we have, and that is accelerating as the year continues. So that momentum that we were building up in Q1 and Q2 is definitely accelerated into the big hiring market out of the summer holidays for Q3 and as we get into Q4, and it's likely to continue on into next year as well. So very favourable signs for us as that moves forward.
Okay, good. That all sounds positive. Maybe thinking about the mix, when you look out 6 months, would you expect some of the strength to come from the recurring contract side of the business or the permanent placement side? And maybe you could talk about any interplay between the two.
Yeah, this is a situation that's a little bit different now in the industry in general because of the hybrid workforce that many companies are adopting right now, as well as companies have really embraced this contingent workforce model. So where you might have had an organization who were strictly full-time employees because of how they pivoted and adjusted to the pandemic, they're now much more open to that hourly, the contingent workforce, which is a big part of our recurring revenue base, and then slowly bring and transitioning those into a full-time role. So we're seeing an expansion of clients that, again, were traditionally are full-time only shops, but also because there's the scarcity of certain skill sets. So you've got US companies, for example, looking north of the border to find their resources because they can't find them in the US, and that puts pressure on other companies already in Canada looking for the same resources, and there's an exchange rate arbitrage there on top of that. So the demand increases, and now for the candidates themselves, they're far more open to not wanting to be a full-time employee and getting to do more the contingent base, working on an hourly basis for clients and gives them that flexibility they're getting to enjoy. So it's probably, there's a duality there. And to be succinct, really, the contract book will continue to grow. But we're also going to see at the same time companies converting those contractors to full-time, those hourly people to full-time, as they get comfortable with that new dynamic of how they're working with their remote workforce. And so that speaks to the growth that we've had on the permanent placement side, on the economic recovery, and also what we're seeing on the expansion on our contract book.
Got it. On the, I'll move over to leaders, and congrats on the announcement there. It looks like debt will fund a portion of that transaction. Would the successful closing of leaders depend on the ongoing non-brokered raise? Is there any update you'd have there? Or I imagine that's something that's moving in the background.
Yes, that's definitely going on in the background. One of the joys of doing a capital raise during the summer holidays, I guess. But we are closing in on that one. And we'll be able to, believe we'll be able to announce that pretty soon. And yeah, that's going to add a lot of, you know, as Dan mentioned in his part of the presentation, some amazing leadership to the company. You know, this, the executive search piece that those guys do, they've got such a good brand name and are so well known in the market. It gives us that extra expansion geographically into Montreal, so into Quebec there, but also adds an amazing diversity practice as well. And that's key and in front of a lot of companies' minds now to have diversity on their boards and within their organizations. And so that's a great part of it as well. So it's this fantastic leadership, their well-known brand name, and adding a meaningful amount of EBITDA to the company as well, which is obviously very important to us.
That was my next question, Simon. I was wondering, so this will close, let's say in September here, late Q3. But when we think of the model post the close of leaders, how would you guys think about pro forma EBITDA? You know, does this get you into, you know, adjusted positive EBITDA territory, you know, pretty comfortably into Q4? Are you balancing maybe the profitability with growth? How do you guys think of, you know, EBITDA going forward, pro forma leaders?
Yeah, for us, it's, and I'm sure Dan can add to this as well, but the, if you look at the financial results for the company as we finished up Q2, and we had made some investments into our shared services model and also investments into SaaS technology being Pulsify, adding another 1.3 million plus of EBITDA really does put us over the top on where we were hoping to be for our EBITDA for the company, and does give us a much better trajectory for positive cash flow, positive EBITDA, on top of the amazing growth rates we're having on the top line.
Great. I've just got one more question and then I'll pass the line here. The SaaS revenue was broken out in the quarter and that looks like it's Pulsify. Some investment going into that just now, some integration, I'm sure. But how would you think of a run rate revenue going forward on Pulsify? How is the integration going there, and how would you expect that to build into the back half of the year? And fit in within Hire?
Well, certainly technology is a big piece of the company. The reason why we're calling the company Hire Technologies, that's a big disruptor for us within the industry, because we can leverage it across our existing, you know, more traditional staffing company brands. It's sort of that bricks to clicks aspect of the company here. So you'd be able to introducing that to our clients, as well as using the footprint we already have to help expand that. So we spent a lot of the time in Q2 getting to understand the dynamics of the product, what we would need for a proper, you know, efficient go-to-market strategy, and using that as our benchmark for any other SaaS transactions that we're also entertaining. And for us, it's really now through, as we're getting out of the summer break here, accelerating the marketing, the go-to-market strategies for that platform, and really determining how well it's going to gain traction, both in the, because it's a US company, both within the US and in Canada, and because it's answering that question of employee engagement in a hybrid workforce model, you know, ensuring that managers are effectively engaging the employees. So I'm being a little bit vague deliberately on this because we're not doing segment reporting, but I do feel that will be a meaningful, you know, uptick as we start to really push the go-to-market strategy for that in the latter half here of Q3 and into Q4.
That's great. That's super helpful, Simon. That's all from me today. Thanks for taking my questions.
Yeah, thank you very much.
There are no further questions at this time. Please proceed.
All right, no further questions. All right, so look, everyone, I really appreciate you all spending the time to listen to us present the company's Q2 financial results. Again, we're really encouraged by the momentum that we built, the incredible performance of all of our brands, the high EBITDA growth, like I was mentioning, those companies that we brought in the last 18 months and what they've really managed to do, and getting double, sometimes triple digit growth rates there on their companies, on these business units that we have now, you know, wrapped, rolled up into our model. It really does prove out the consolidation strategy we're executing, the high growth rates in our industry, and we're really encouraged by that momentum continuing as we've entered Q3 here as well, and the outlook for the industry and the market in general going through the rest of this year and into next year. So again, thank you everyone for joining the call. I really do appreciate it.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference call for today. We thank you for participating and ask that you please disconnect your lines.